This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello there, my Youpreneurs, and welcome to episode number 184 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you very much for being with me. Got a really good show lined up for you today. My good buddy Stu McLaren is in the house, and we're talking all about membership site launches. So this is a really kind of hardcore strategy-based one. Get your notepad and your pen ready. Before I get into that conversation with Stu, just want to remind you that today is the last day, okay? It's the last day, September 30. It's the last day that you can get a 7-day trial to the Youpreneur community for just $7. You'll get full access to everything, our forums, our content, our downloads, the whole kit and caboodle. And all you need to do is head over to youpreneur.com/7 and you can get that 7-day trial for just $7. Don't hesitate, do it now, and I'll see you on the inside. Now, onto my chat with Stu. Now, we've been friends for a few years, and he's always been involved in the membership site game for as long as I remember discussing things with him. First, it was Wishlist Member, which was a WordPress plugin that he owned and recently sold his share of. And then he was working with Michael Hyatt on all of his membership site stuff as well. And Stu just recently launched his product, Tribe, which the doors are now closed on. But I wanted to get him on the show as a perfect caveat from episode number 182 with my very good friend, Mike Morrison, who actually helped me rebuild the Youpreneur community from a membership site perspective. Man, launching is a tough one. You know, do you keep the doors open? Do you close them? Do you do a scarcity type launched? We really deep dive on this subject, and it's been something I've been looking forward to for a while. And so, you know, if you are a membership site owner already, or if you're thinking of starting a membership site for all that recurring revenue attractiveness that it brings your way, this is a great pair of podcasts, both Mike with episode 182, Stu now with 184. Get your notebooks ready. You're going to need them. Here we go. Hey, what's up, everybody? Chris Ducker here, and I'm with my very good friend, Stu McLaren. What's up, brother?
Mr. Ducker, I'm excited to be here with you, buddy.
It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, Ducker, I don't know if you know this.
I love the way you call me Ducker as well. I think it's fantastic. Yeah.
Do you know that we share some English history? Because I was actually born in England. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I didn't think you did. So yeah, I lived there till I was 6 years old, just south of London in Gravesend, Kent.
Gravesend, Kent. Lovely. Yeah. My nanny, as we used to call her, my grandma, she was in Gillingham in Kent. So there you
go. Very nice. Yeah. Wow. Well, there it is. So
basically we're cousins or something is what you're trying to say.
Well, I'm just pre-warning people because if they understand your poor sense of humor, then it's only going to get magnified when the two of us get together is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, exactly. I love it. All right, man. Well, look, I wanted to bring you on the show really to kind of, you know, I talk everything membership, talk everything tribe, talk everything, business, following, online. I mean, the thing is that, and I often start off interviews on Youpreneur FM with this statement that we could go in so many directions with this conversation, and we could, and that just shows you how good my guests are. But today, I do want to zoom in on the membership business model because...
And I love this too because it's fresh in your mind. I mean, this is like you're coming up on your 1-year anniversary of your membership.
Yep.
So it's something that's fresh. You know, we were just talking off camera that you've been making a lot of changes that you've seen a huge significant bump in the engagement and the response from your members, so it's all fresh. And this is why I love talking about this stuff because membership sites are a living, breathing organism that it's always changing, always evolving. And I love these conversations.
Yeah. No, for me as well, I think that, you know, and I've been an entrepreneur for well over 12 years now, which is why I have no hair, obviously. For me, it's the first membership business model that I've launched and you know, attempted to grow. And it's been probably one of the biggest learning curves for me personally as well, but also one of the most rewarding because of the tribe element. And we'll get into that, no doubt, through the course of this conversation. So let me ask you this. I mean, you know, your background is, it's, you know, in terms of your online business, obviously wishlist member, software, delivering software, great customer service, et cetera, then you start working with Michael Hyatt with his launches and that sort of type of thing. And now you're kind of on this major kind of solo mission to go out there and change the world in only the McLaren way could possibly achieve it. So, I mean, like, give us just sort of your 2 to 3 minute sort of, this is where I was, this is where I am now, and this is why I'm so excited about it.
All right. Well, back in the day, this was prior to 2008, I was a consultant. So I had a really successful consulting business, but there was one major problem. The only way to grow that business was to give more of my time. And I just didn't have any more time to give. And so I was looking for more ways to leverage what it is that I knew. And so I thought about starting a membership site. Problem was, once I got into it, it got like, at the time, it was super technical. There weren't the solutions that we have available to us today.
Right.
And I was like moaning and groaning to a friend of mine, and his name was Tracy. And long story short, he's like, well, dude, why don't we just create our own solution? And I'm like, come on, Trace. Like, I'm not a programmer. I'm having trouble setting up this server, for crying out loud, let alone like building a whole solution.
Right.
And he's like, well, yeah, but I've got a programmer that works with me. Why don't we do it together? And so that's what happened. That was like the beginning of this was like August 2008. And then literally a month later, we had a beta version, which is now known as Wishlist Member. And I sold it to my mastermind. I didn't give it to them. I sold it to them because I wanted to see if like other people would value it like we did. Everybody in the mastermind bought. So then I was like, So then we went and we started selling it publicly October 22nd, 2008. And very quickly, it took off. I mean, at the time, it was like one of the only easy, user-friendly solutions to be able to create a membership site. Well, it took off and, you know, fast forward a whole bunch of years. And when I sold my share in the company in fall of 2014, it was powering over 60,000 online communities and membership sites.
That's incredible.
So it was amazing. And so during that time, I scaled down my consulting business. In fact, I completely let all my clients go and just focused on growing that company. And then I was interacting with so many membership site owners. And it basically discovered that there were two groups. There was like one group who were what I would call the hobbyists. These were people who were like launching a membership site to maybe create some side income. But after a launch, their sites just literally like fell off. Like the number of members fell off. Or they hit a wall where, you know, everything just kind of flatlined. And so that was the hobbyist. Then there was this other much smaller group. But this was like, I call these people like the business owners. I mean, these people took it serious right from the get-go. But they had a completely different strategy. It was counterintuitive to what everybody else was doing. But their sites were like a staircase. It was like up, then level up, and then level up, and then level. But it kept like growing like a staircase. So I paid real close attention to what this group was doing because their strategy was different than the vast majority of people. So then I was kind of getting like the entrepreneurial itch, you know, like when you know something that's like, dang, like I want to try this,
right?
You know, on a fresh, you know, fresh experiment, fresh project. So the long story of it is that I was speaking at a conference on membership sites. Somebody came up to me after. They said, hey, do you know Michael Hyatt? And I said, no, I don't know him personally, but I know of him, obviously. And they said, well, he could really use what you're talking about. I'd love to set up a meeting between you guys. And I was like, great. So a couple months later, I meet Michael. He's speaking at this big event, and it was like 1,500 people in the audience. And it was just coming off of his New York Times bestselling book Platform. So he's signing books all afternoon. I mean, like, he was exhausted. And then we go out to dinner. And
and this is good. I'm glad I'm hearing this because he told me this story.
Oh, hang on. You were there. Remember, we were at dinner together and he was talking about how you guys met and everything. Right. Okay. All right. Good. Carry on.
Yeah. And so we sit down and I basically asked him the question, like, what's the number one challenge in your business right now? And he's like, well, you know, he said, I love my message and I love sharing it with my audience. He's like, the problem is that I hate being away from Gail and my kids and my grandkids. So at the time, like his business model was based around him as a platform speaker. So he'd get paid to come and deliver a keynote presentation. And he would do that 30, 40, 50 times a year even.
It's a lot of travel. A lot of time away from home.
A lot of travel, man.
Yeah,
because he had a day on the front and a day on the back for travel. He was gone over 100 days of the year.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I think I can help. And so long story short, we partnered together. And this was my chance to take everything that I learned from this small group of business owners and apply it to a fresh project. And so we launched a membership site based around his book. And in the first week, we had 1,100 members. After the first year, we had 2,500. After the second year, we had 4,500. After the third year, we had over 6,000, and it continues to grow to this day. Well, that caught the attention of a lot of people. And I started doing like really high-end workshops, sharing that information over this last year. I did one in California, one in Toronto, one in Hawaii, one in Brazil. And the people that were coming out of that workshop were launching successful membership sites in all kinds of niche markets. Like one's in dog training, another's like a former teacher. And I mean, there was all these great examples and case studies of people who were doing well with what we were, what I was sharing. And so what I realized was like, I'm loving this. And this is what I want to go deep and share this with more people. And that's where I am now. So I'm totally focused on sharing all things membership sites with as many people, because I believe it's the best business model anybody can adopt in their business. I mean, you've experienced it this year, right, Chris?
Yep.
Like recurring revenue. I mean, what does that do for your stress? I mean, it just whoop.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. And I was just having this conversation with Urs yesterday that, you know, the beautiful thing about this, I mean, and we run, as you know, and as a lot of the people who listen and watch a show know that, you know, I run a large business here, 450 plus staff. That's a service-based business. We bill our clients monthly. We know roughly how much we're going to make month in, month out, year after year. But with my online businesses, it's never been like that. Like, yes, I'll be an affiliate for a couple of very select partners each year, Michael Hyatt being one of them. I will do a certain amount of speaking. I will do a certain amount of product sales. I will do, we have Virtual Staff Finder, which is a service-based business, and we know roughly where we are with that. But even that is quite seasonal sometimes as well. And so I've never really had what I've got with my large brick and mortar business, with my online business, but Youpreneur has changed that. And we know roughly, we know pretty much where we're going to be month in, month out. This is how much we're going to grow. This is where we might lose a few people. But ultimately, we know what that recurring revenue is going to be every single month.
It's it's like steady Eddie. It's just, it becomes predictable. And like, I just know because I've experienced it, but the stress that you feel in the business, it just goes way down. You know, like most businesses, every month they're like, okay, we got to make some sales. Let's go shake the money tree. Like what promotion are we going to do? Like, what are we going to sell? Like, it's always like you're hitting the reset button every month. Now with the membership site, it's the opposite. It's like you said, consistent, reliable. And then it gives you the flexibility and freedom to be able to experiment, to try different things. If you want to do a promotion, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Like, there's a lot more flexibility there. That's why I love it. And I love it because it gives you the ability to impact others in a much deeper way. And you and I were talking about the relationship that you've got with your tribe, with the Youpreneur community, and how special that is to you. And, you know, for everybody listening, like, I want them to realize how highly you, Chris, speak of them outside of the community. I mean, to me, that's the sign of somebody who's got a great relationship with their audience, with their tribe. And, you know, you're the poster child for, you know, how to run a great community. You care about your community. You're looking out for their best interests. And you, everything you do in that community is centered around helping them. And I think that when you come from that place, you can't help but be successful with it all.
Yeah, no, I love them. They're great. And, you know, I'm blessed to, you know, be invited to a good amount of speaking gigs every year. I don't speak anywhere near as much as I used to, probably an average of maybe anything between 6 to 10 times a year now. That's it. But whenever I do, we're now holding Upreneur meetups for members. And, you know, sometimes it's just three or four of us having a pizza. At other times, we'll rent a we actually rented a hotel suite in San Diego after social media marketing. Well, there was about 20 of us in the suite. And we had, yeah, we had beer and wine and pie delivered and all this sort of stuff. And we got told off by the security like 11:30 for making too much noise in a hotel suite. I'm like, isn't this what you're supposed to do in a hotel suite? Like, supposed to party, you know what I mean? We had a great time. It's what it's all about. So, okay, let's kind of deep dive a little bit on here, because I want to get a little strategic here, if that's okay with you. And I know you love a good strategy. So, yeah. I mean, let's say for argument's sake, we've gone beyond the I think a membership would be a good idea for me. We believe it will be. We've potentially maybe got to the point where we're going to figure out what we're going to deliver our members on a monthly basis, right? In terms of, you know, content. We know that there's going to be a community aspect to it, so we're kind of taking care of that. Let's talk launch, and then let's talk management and long-term marketing. And let's make that the bulk of the call, if that's okay with you. So let's talk launch. And you and I were talking about this a little bit, whereas Upreneur currently is open all the time. So people can join any day of the year. That might change. I might flip you kind of, you're bending my arm a little bit here. I might flip that up, maybe try something a little different going into next year. But there are other memberships that open and close the doors, much like Michael's platform and a few others out there as well. What's the difference between the two, other than the obvious, and which one do you favor and why?
Okay, so there's really like two ways to think about marketing a membership site. One way is that you are basically the two ways are open and close. And so the open strategy, just like Upreneur currently, is open all the time. So people can sign up any day of the week, sign up any time of the day. As soon as they sign up, they get their login info and they're in. So that's one way. The second way is a closed model. Basically, what that means is that for the most part, throughout the year, the membership site is actually closed. So when people go there, they can't sign up. But a couple times or a few times throughout the year, you have open registration periods. So for example, with Platform University and Michael Hyatt's, we would open in the fall and we would open in the spring. So we would open two times a year.
Now let me cut you off there. Why those two times each year? Why not other times of the year? I'm just curious.
For us, the fall was a no-brainer because that's when everybody's back to school.
Okay.
That's when everybody's kind of getting back into the rhythm of learning. So okay. It kind of made sense. And with the university theme, it
you know, I get it.
It made sense. And then we just basically, the spring one, we wanted to even it out throughout the year. So than do like in the fall and then you know, right away after, it just gave us
so this is like serious strategy right here. No, we're just going to do two a year with 6 months in between, right? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I do think it from a strategy perspective, it is important to space out your promos though,
because
I have seen some people actually, you know, do it like 3 months apart or, you know, even 4 months apart, and it's just not enough time. Like when you use the close strategy, the promotions are going to be much bigger, so you're going to get a lot more reach. You're going to get in, a lot more people are going to see it. And so to go back to back, you know, with promotions that are fairly tight and fairly close, you're not going to have the same response or conversion. So you do need the space in between. So that's that's a closed promo. So that's exactly what we moved to. And here's what we found. When we were open all the time, we would add anywhere between 100, 150, maybe on a good month, 200 new members. But generally it was around like between 100 and 150 members a month. Then we went down to four times a year. Now that was scary because we were like, wait a minute, you know, that means we've got to get way more members during those four promotional periods. It's going to add more stress and, you know, are we going to be able to do it? But we went down to four times a year. And the reason that we did it was because we didn't have the promotional bandwidth to be promoting it all the time. So we were, you know, some months we'd have members just trickle in just through seeing it and through word of mouth. But if we ever wanted to give it a good like promotional push, it just sucked up a lot of the bandwidth that we had on our calendar. So we wanted to free some of that up for other projects and just so that we weren't hammering the list all the time. So then when we went down to four, what we saw was the number of members who were signing up was almost double what it would have been over the same 3 month period. So let's say that we would, if we were just simple math, if we were adding 100 people a month and we did four promotions a year, that would mean we basically had to match 300 members. But what we were seeing was that for every quarterly promotion that we were doing, we were adding anywhere between 700 to 800 members. Mm. So we were far exceeding what we would have done if we had been open all the time with less promotions. Then we had the guts to go from four down to two. And again, the same fear triggers went off. It's like, can we do it? I don't know. Will we get the same amount of members? I don't know. It's like, well, you know, all kinds of fear and self-doubt swirl around. But when we did, the promotions were even bigger. So instead of adding 700 to 800 per promotion, we were adding between 2,000 to 3,000 new members per promotion.
See, that's a different ballgame. Plus, also, that opened up, and I saw it myself as a friend of Michael's and also as a follower of Michael's. I agree with basically everything he does from a personal brand perspective. He's very consistent. I mean, he's for me, he's one of the guys that I will, you know, and I think you probably feel exactly the same way after working so closely with him. If you don't aspire to have that kind of level of professionalism and success, even when you're professional and successful, then there's an issue inside your brain. You know what I mean? Like he's just doing it right. But what I saw was that he then opened up all this extra time to be able to create more product, to spend more time with the family and all the rest of it as well, which obviously is a good thing.
Totally. I mean, like, yeah, you just think about it. And now instead of doing, you know, promotions every month, he went down to, we only did four a year and then that went down to two. So exactly what you said. I mean, we were getting more members with less promotions. So it required less effort. And the other interesting thing about that is that those two promotions that we would do, essentially, we were only creating one new promotion a year because we created almost like a template for us for that particular promotion. And then we would use the same promotion in the spring. So we'd create one new promotion for the fall. We'd use the same promotional material for the spring promo, and it would be just as effective.
So when you say the same, are we talking same videos, same swipe copy, same email
same
funnel,
emails,
same everything?
Same everything. You know,
I love it.
Almost pretty much identical. The only thing that might change would be like the webinar content if we were doing a webinar.
Sure.
But for the most part, like it was almost identical.
I love that. Okay. Yep. So, all right. So that obviously answers the question. Which one do you prefer? Open or closed, right?
Now the trick question here comes for you, Chris, is what will you do moving forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I'm a big believer of when I know smart people and I ask them questions and they give me answers, I tend to not ignore them, okay? That's a fact, and anybody that knows me knows that. So I am very, very confident that I am going to try this out going into next year. Our calendar's done for the year, but I'm very seriously going to consider closing the doors at the end of this year and see what happens for a while.
Well, and there's a couple big benefits here. Like one, as you know, with a membership site, you're never stuck. Like you can try things and if it doesn't work, just go back to what you were doing before and change it back. Like it's not a big deal. Like that's the great thing about a membership site is you make a decision and then if it works, great. If it doesn't work, no problem. You just keep tweaking. You're never stuck. But the other thing that I would say as far as promotions, when it comes to positives and negatives as far as how to promote, is that if you're open all the time, the hardest thing that you're going to deal with is that there's no sense of urgency for people to join the membership. So it's like one of those things. It's like you come to the site and it's like, oh man, this looks great. Oh, what's that, honey? Okay. All right, and then you're off and you're distracted. There's no sense of urgency.
Right.
When you have a closed period, it's like, Chris, if you don't join before midnight, then you don't get in for 6 months. And what happens is that it just forces people to make a decision, which sometimes as leaders, we need to encourage people to make a decision.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, then they won't. Okay.
Well, that's the definition of a leader. It's leading people to do something, right? Yeah.
Totally. And the other thing that I would say is from a support standpoint, I know that you asked about management and support, and this kind of segues into that. But from a support standpoint, guess what happens? Is it gives you and your team the ability to focus on almost like a cohort of new members that come through. And it allows your team to be able to focus their attention on the critical times of a membership when a member is just joining, to be able to create just an amazing experience for them so that they get intertwined within the community, that they're familiar with the content, they understand how the community works and so forth. And you could focus your attention on that for a few weeks, and then now they're into a rhythm. Whereas if you're open all the time, you've always got to be on high alert, you know what I mean? And so forth. So it makes support and management a whole lot easier too.
I love that. Okay. So let's talk a little bit then about the numbers a little bit. I think one thing that I sort of struggled with for the first few months was looking at things like sales and churn. And for those tuning in that don't know what that means, it's how many people are you losing against how many people are coming in each month.
You're gonna
say something about churn and opening and closing. Go, say it.
No. I was just gonna say, that's often a misconception that people have. It's like, okay, when members join, there's the misconception that, well, they're gonna stay forever.
Right.
I hate to break it to people, but that just does not happen. People will leave no matter what content you're providing, no matter what subject or market you're in, people will leave every month. It's a fact. But there are many things that we can do to offset that churn. And as you're saying, when we're talking about numbers, those numbers are real important to the health and the success of your membership.
Okay, so break them down for us a little bit. What are the numbers that we should be looking at as membership site owners?
Okay, so when we talk about the hobbyists, remember the hobbyist group? They would typically see anywhere between 20 to 25, even 30% of their members every month canceling. So what happens is that they've got this huge bucket that's just leaking out the bottom. So that's why their membership would fall off. And that's why even if they were to save the membership, if you will, or level it off, they were working so hard to get members in just to basically offset the members that they're losing out the back end.
Yeah.
So that's a huge percentage. Now, the business owners, their percentages were much, much smaller. So they were losing anywhere between, on the high end, I would say it was like 10%, but it was typically between 4 to 8% of their members each month.
Now, what were they doing differently to keep people for a longer period of time?
So there's a ton of things that you can do from a retention standpoint, but I'll give you a couple biggies. One of the things that they did that was really powerful was they created a ton of anticipation for upcoming content. So I don't know if your listeners are as crazy about it as my wife and I, but we used to love the show 24. And, this show—
I could never— Look, I'm sorry. Because whenever anybody brings up 24, Jack Bauer, I always say the same thing. Why is he whispering all the time? He never stopped. This is Jack Bauer. Why is he always whispering? I just don't— there's a bomb that's about to explode and you're whispering. I'd be screaming like a madman if that was me.
Yeah, I totally get it. Well, and that's the beauty about Jack Bauer. I mean, he's just calm, he's relaxed, no matter what's happening.
Yeah.
But okay, so the beauty about that show though is my wife and I, we could never watch that show week to week because they did such a great job of creating anticipation for the next episode. We were chomping at the bit. So we ended up getting into a rhythm where we would wait a whole season and then we would just binge watch. It was just hardcore because in every episode, it was pretty predictable. Jack Bauer would save the day and you'd be feeling great. And then boom, something catastrophic would happen. And then they would tease that in the preview and you're just on edge anticipating the next episode, which is why it was so addictive and you couldn't wait for the next episode. We want to adopt the same sorts of philosophies and approaches in our membership sites. But the reason that most people don't is because they're not organized on their content. So they don't even know what's coming up next month half the time. And so they're creating the content in the month that they're delivering it. So they can't create anticipation for what's coming up because they don't know what's coming up.
Right.
So one of the things that we get real organized on is creating your content structure and creating the content calendar and so forth, so that you can open a loop and close a loop each month. So that's one of the most powerful retention strategies, is opening a loop, just like in 24 at the end of every episode. They would open a loop. Something catastrophic would happen. As human beings, our mind wants to close that loop. We want to find out what happens. So then the only way to close that loop is to watch the next episode.
Right.
Or in membership terms, the only way to close that loop is to stay on for the next month. And so you stay on for the next month, that closes that loop. And then in the same month, you want to open another loop. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So how do we do it? I mean, is it just as simple as mentioning in your forum what's coming up next month, or is there something else we can do?
You can totally do that, and I highly recommend you do that in terms of creating anticipation. But another way you could do it is you overlap content. So let me share with you a story about like a time that I really discovered the power of this. So way back in the day, the year was 2004.
Like I say, back in the day is like only 12 years ago.
Hey. In internet years, Chris, that was like
that's
way
true.
Back.
Yeah, like that's like dog years, right? Yeah, okay. Totally. We're talking 50 like, years from now. Okay, okay, go. I mean,
we're old men when you count back. Okay, so back in the day, 2004, I attend this seminar, and I'm just starting my speaking career. I was a motivational speaker for high school and college students. So I'm starting this speaking career. I'm at this seminar, and the seminar I was attending was all about how to build your speaking business. And one of the things that he suggested was, listen, you got to have products that you can offer your audiences. And I was like, well, I don't have any products, you know, to offer and blah, blah, blah. Then this gentleman, he had a membership site that you could sign up for. It was really expensive. Like it was $300 a month. And at the time, I mean, I'm just coming out of college, you know, I'm shoulder deep in student debt. Like I don't have $300 a month to spend on this. But here was the promise. Every month, he would deliver a book that you had recording rights to. And so you could record that book, and instantly now you have an audio product that you could sell or offer to your audiences. And I was like, man, that's awesome. And so he did it on subjects that were relevant no matter what your subject matter. So I'm like, okay, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to sign up, and I'm going to sign up for 1 month, and I'm going to get one book, and then I'm going to quit, because that'll be enough for me at that point, and mm-hmm. then I'll make some money with that, and maybe I'll come back. So that was my intent. And by the way, this is the same mindset that 99.9% of your members who join your membership have as well. I'm going to join for 1 month. I'll get some value.
Check it out. Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
But that's okay. For us as membership site owners, our first hurdle is just to get people in the door.
Right.
Once they get in the door, then we knock their socks off and they never want to leave. But here's how this guy did. So I sign up, and the first month he over-delivers. He gives me a whole book, and then he gives me chapters 1 through 12 of a 24-chapter second book. So I get one book in its entirety, and then I get half of a second book. And so I'm like, oh, well, I can't quit now because I've only got half of a second book. I'll stay on for month two, and I'll get the second half of the second book. So month two comes, sure enough, I get the second half of the second book, and I get the first half of the third book. And I'm psychologically, I'm like, yeah, this guy's killing me, you know?
Right.
Like, but it's a perfect example of how overlapping content was used to keep me hooked all the way through. And so I continued to pay month after month, and I continued to get the value from it, but it was all because of the way the content was set up. Overlapping content from 1 month to the next. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Makes total sense.
So that's one example. Another way you could use the same sort of strategy is if you have a contest that overlaps from 1 month to the next. So perhaps the participation starts on the second half of a month, and the winners get announced in the first half of the next month. So there's all kinds of ways that you could overlap and layer content, contests, interactions, engagements, all that kind of stuff. So it goes from 1 month to the next. Those are all examples of retention strategies. Another powerful one, and I know that you're going to be raising the price of Upreneur very soon.
Yep.
A super powerful retention strategy is when you're launching your membership site, start your price low. And then that creates built-in promotions for you down the road, like what's going to happen with Upreneur when you relaunch at a higher price. But here's the retention strategy. What you do is you draw a line in the sand and you say, anybody who signs up before this date, you'll be locked in at the lower price for as long as you remain a member in good standing. So you grandfather all those people in at the lower price. Mm-hmm. Then when you do raise it, they don't want to leave because they've got a good deal.
Yeah.
And if they leave, then they're not going to be able to get that discount when they come back. And so if you use that strategy strategically, you can have multiple levels or multiple layers of people at different price points who don't want to leave. And what you're doing is you're rewarding the early people who have taken a chance on you. I mean, they're getting the best value, right? They're the ones who signed up in the early days. So you want to reward them because they've been with you the longest.
But let me ask you this. From time to time, there might be times throughout the calendar where you want to run a promo of some variety.
Sure.
Let's say, like, for example, for transparency purposes, when we launched Youpreneur, we were at $49 a month.
Yep.
Then after a month, we went up to $59 a month. Obviously, we got a lot of people come in straight at the beginning of the launch. Then we got a lot of people come in before the price went up to the $59. And we've been sat at $59 since. Now we're about to increase to $69. Where obviously, we're going to be running a promo and the scarcity will get lots of people in. But what happens, Stu, 6 months from now, maybe 3 months from now, where I want to run a promo of some variety for Youpreneur, and this could be any kind of business model, obviously, but in this case, we're looking at membership sites, but where my price is now at $69, but I might want to offer it for a short period of time at a lower amount. I run the risk, obviously, of upsetting some of my $69 a month members at this point. Do I still go with the promo and say it was a one-time deal, or is there something else I need to figure out? And this is front of mind for me, one, because obviously we've been discussing it, but two, because it's actually been a discussion inside of Youpreneur currently for other membership site owners as well. And they're a little concerned about how people will kind of, you know, feel about that thing.
Totally. Here's what I would say. If it's making you squirm, then I would say listen to that. Because here's my experience with price discounts, especially with membership sites. The last thing that you want to do is tick off somebody who is a paying member. You want to take care of them. So if I were going to offer any discount, which, by the way, I don't recommend doing. If I were to do a promo, so this would be my advice to you, Chris. Instead of offering a discount, let's find another way where you can add something extra. And I'll talk about that in a second. So bring me back to that, okay? Because I'll show you a strategy with that. But if you were to offer a price discount, I would go to your existing members who are at the higher price. And I would say, we're about to run a promo for the higher price, and we wanted to offer it to you first. Same membership, same access to everything, just a lower price. We just thought we'd do it as a courtesy. I'm telling you, that will go so far.
Yeah, that's massive. Yeah.
Because what it demonstrates is, look, I'm looking out for your best interests, and I want to take care of you. That will create such word of mouth, and it will set the stage where people won't ever want to leave because they feel taken care of. So that's how I would handle that. But for the most part, I don't like offering discounts. I like offering some other type of incentive for people to sign up during a particular promotional period. So another membership site that I was running, it was a multiple six-figure a year membership. We were open all the time. It was one of our only areas of focus. So looking back, that I think we probably should have cut down the number of promotions, just like what we were talking about. But for all intents, for our conversation here today, we were open all the time. But what we did do right was that we knew we had to give people a reason to sign up for the membership site today. So what we would do is every month we would run a mini launch. It was for a promotion that we would run for, I think it was like 3 or 4 days every month. And what we would do is we would run a promotion whereby we were featuring some new bonus that we were including inside of the membership site. And we would sell that same bonus separately. Typically, it was for like, this was a $20 a month membership. So we would sell this bonus for like $37, $47. Sometimes we had bonuses that were valued at $77. And we would sell them separately where people could buy them one-off price for the $77, for example, or they could join the membership site and get it for $20 a month.
Right.
And so they're looking at those two options. And the two options are pay $77 one time or get it free by paying $20 a month. Well, naturally, what they're thinking is the same thing that I was thinking when I joined that $300 a month membership. I'm going to join for the first month. I'm going to get that thing for free, and then I'm going to cancel. But that's okay. As membership site owners, that's our first hurdle. Just get them in the door. Once we get them in the door, now we knock their socks off and we wow them and we show them how amazing the community is, then they never want to leave. And so that's how I would do it. And then what happens is whatever that bonus is, all the members who already belong to the membership, they benefit from that. They all automatically get that membership or that bonus.
Yeah.
And so everybody wins in that scenario.
I love it. Okay, that's great. So to wrap up here, and boy, could we keep going, trust me. To wrap up here, where do you see, and this is a little blue sky, but this is also something I've been thinking about as well, as now a membership, you know, site business owner. Where do you see this going? The one thing that I'm a little concerned about, and I haven't been that vocal about this, actually. So this is probably the first time I'm discussing it, quote unquote, publicly. But the one thing I'm a little concerned about is how much more of me I can denote to this business. Like, how much more of me can I put into it before I get to the point where I feel this is too much? Like, I don't want to be doing this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm loving what I'm doing currently. I truly am. But as it continues to grow, obviously the stresses on me are going to continue to grow a little as well. How do you suggest that as membership site owners, we kind of keep that in check a little bit? How do you see things developing as the site grows and the business becomes more successful? Like, how the hell does Michael look after 6,000 people? I've said that to myself a few times. Like, how does he do this? Surely they all want a little piece of the Michael pie, right?
Yeah, so there's a number of things that go into what we're talking about, which is scaling the membership so that it doesn't create more stress and dependency on you. In fact, as the membership site scales, the dependency on you should actually decrease. So it's kind of like in the beginning, you're highly involved, and you should be, because you want to get you want to have your finger on the pulse of the community. You want to get a sense of things because you're going to innovate in that community real quickly, right? Yeah. Based on what you're finding, what the feedback is, and so forth. But over time, like we were saying earlier, that you get settled into a rhythm. And once you get into a rhythm, now you can start building the team out. And that's exactly what we did with Michael. So as that membership site started to scale and grow, we had the resources to invest in hiring team. And some of the key roles that we hired for, like one of them was definitely right out of the gate, was a community manager. Somebody whose time is just dedicated to taking care of the community. And so in the beginning, I mean, I was playing that role. Michael's oldest daughter, Megan, was playing that role. And to Michael's credit, he was highly involved in the community as well, because like I said, we needed to be. But as we grew, we hired a community manager. And then as we continued to grow, we hired a content producer. So somebody whose sole focus is like scheduling the content, coming up with ideas for the content. Their role is not necessarily to interact with the community, but it's more of like making sure the content is top-notch and helping produce it. Whereas the community manager's role becomes hyper-focused on engaging with the members.
Right.
Conversations, connecting members, all that kind of stuff. So those were two key roles that we hired for. And that took a huge weight off of Michael's shoulders, because now the way that we produce content, and again, we didn't really talk about this, but it comes down to your content strategy. But the way that we would produce content, we were able to produce essentially like a year's worth of content in about a week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it was super efficient with Michael's time. So he was only highly involved for a very short period of time. Now he's got breathing room to be able to engage in the community when he does, pop on the Q&A calls when he wants to, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one thing. Second thing I would say is that over time, you want to almost like grow within experts within your community or success stories within your community. And you want to highlight them. You want to celebrate them. And you want those people to grow up almost within your community where they also become a focal point and contribute content. And so that's the transition period. Like there's a period where all the content is dependent, in your case right now for Youpreneur, it's all dependent on you. But over time, you want that dependency to decrease and it becomes more of you becoming almost like a cheerleader, celebrating the success of everybody else coming up through your community and them becoming the stars of your community. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Makes sense. Yeah.
And so that, and that happens over time. That doesn't happen right away. And you're going to start to see that a lot more, certainly with Michael and Platform University and with his brand in general. You know, it's going to slowly start to evolve where Michael isn't necessarily the only one producing content, but he becomes somebody who is championing younger or other people within his community who equally can produce content at the same level, have now developed an area of expertise, and have grown up through the ranks, if you will.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I mean, you know, I've this kind of brings me back to a discussion that I had with Jay Beer here on the show not so long ago, where he was talking about kind of turn yourself into a media company and, you know, kind of building things out, like what he's done with Convince and Convert. Like, I don't think about Convince and Convert as a blog or a podcast anymore. Like, for me, they really are a media company. Like, they've got their fingers so solidly on the pulse of what they do that they are media. That's what they're doing. They're producing media. And he is talking proof of that, right? So, I mean, it gets me back. And I remember when I had that conversation with Jay, I was like, damn, man, that's so darn good. Like, I want to do that. You know what I mean? Yep. And I guess long-term, I think every content producer, content marketer, influencer, leader should be thinking about that, particularly in our age now with live video and all the rest of it. Like, this is a media-rich environment nowadays, which is why, you know, these beautiful videos that you're shooting for your upcoming launch are so important as part of that process, right? Now, I want to segue and end with this. You do have something special coming, and I know that you've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this. A certain part of his heart has been cut away and inserted into this launch as well. Tell us about Tribe. Tell us all about what's going on here.
Well, essentially, a lot of people were asking what we have done for Michael. How can they do it for themselves? And so what I'm sharing for the very first time is our exact process. We got an absolutely free workshop that's happening at tribeworkshop.com. So I highly recommend people go check that out.
Good.
And we're going to be walking through exactly how to create, plan for, launch, grow, and scale a highly successful membership site. So if people listening, if they've got an expertise of some kind, if they've got influence or an audience that they're serving, and they want to learn how to turn that and transform that knowledge and that influence into recurring revenue, then come join us for the workshop. It's going to be awesome. And we're going to be sharing a ton of great info. We're going to be talking about how to assess your market to see if it's right for a membership site. We're going to be talking about how to structure your content. Like, we didn't really get a chance to get into it here, but there is a very specific way that we recommend structuring your content so that you're constantly delivering high value, but so that you don't get overwhelmed yourself as the content creator. And so there's a very specific strategy for that. We talk through that. I also just basically open up the Komodo and I share like a whole blueprint of like there's five areas to a successful membership site. And we talk about each of them and we go in depth about like what they are and what you got to look for and the things you got to plan for and so forth. So all of that's happening at tribeworkshop.com.
I love it. I wish you all the best with it. I mean, it's a topic that, you know, there are only really literally a handful of people in the world could talk about. And with your experience under your belt with what you've done with Michael and the other people that you work with, I'm sure it's going to be a raving success. Stu McLaren, everybody. Can we have a round of applause for Stu?
Buddy, thank you so much. Now, I'm sure we'll go off. We'll both of us go have a little cup of tea.
Yeah, mate. Call it a day. Yeah, Governor. Yeah, Governor. It'll be lovely. Right, it'll be lovely. Just as a little side as well, and for those of you guys tuning in, because I know a lot of you are excited about this. You're excited about the Ducker dog coming to town, right? So we're getting a little dog. And for anybody that's really interested, it's the breed is a Bichon Frise. So it's a little white, little kind of dog, right? Like canine.
That's a great description, buddy.
And so I put it out on Instagram and into the community, like, what do I name the job? It's got to be British inspired, okay? But and we had literally well over 100 messages, tweets, emails, forum reply. It was insane, Stu. And we got close to things like there was Womble, because I'm from Wimbledon. And for those tuning in, the Wombles of Wimbledon Common, there's a big TV show back in the 70s. There was a lot of Harrys, like Harry Potter and all that sort of stuff. But we have decided on one, and I'm going to put it right here. This is it. Drum roll here. We have decided on the word governor.
Governor.
Now, for those of you.
That suits you, buddy. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So governor is an English, a very London term for the boss, basically, or a person in the position of leadership, governor. So, you know, you might say something like, oh, I wouldn't do that if I was you, mate. The governor will be well upset with you. You know, that sort of thing. So we're looking forward to bringing governor home next week sometime. It's going to be fun.
I want to start seeing t-shirts, you know, with governor on it. I think that'd be appropriate for you.
Well, my wife was saying we should create an Instagram account for
totally.
Him. And yeah, I said, yes, and you can manage it because I've got more than enough stuff to do. Oh, dear. Stu, it's been a pleasure to have you on, man. I very much appreciate it. Show notes for everybody over at chrisducker.com/episode184. We're coming up on our second centurion here. It's going to be fun. And links to tribeworkshop.com and everything else over there as well. Stu, good luck with the launch, brother. I truly, truly hope that you do a fantastic job for everybody.
Buddy, I appreciate you. And shout out to all the Upreneur community because, man, I'm just telling you, Chris takes care of you. He's thinking of you all the time. And you're a perfect example of somebody who has great content and, you know, make sure that you take care of the community. So you're awesome, dude. I appreciate you.
Thank you. All right, guys, don't forget, you can get a 7-day trial to the Upreneur community for just $7. All you got to do is head over to upreneur.com/7. That's either the number or the word, because I'm smart like that, you see? I'll see you next week right here on Upreneur FM. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit upreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's upreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.